Howdy, folks. Welcome back. You got me for a few minutes, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's definitely Friday today. It has been a long week. We've been hammering out content for you guys. I hope you've been enjoying it. Hope you've been staying updated. Hope you've been staying informed. And I hope you guys are getting all your packages as quickly as possible, because we've been getting them out. Rich over there at the office has been hammering packages. Lana's been packing. I even packed some. We've all been getting your orders out to you guys. So thank you for the continued support in the Black Friday sale, taking advantage of that. Vitamin C powder's on sale. Be sure to check that out. That product needs no introduction. You already know what that does and how good it is if you've already tried it. If you haven't tried it, I suggest you do it. Try it while it's on sale. So, again, keep getting the truth out there, my friends. We're in this together. Ted will be with us here shortly. He ran off to go handle something. I don't know. On Friday shows, we got all this stuff going on together, and we're just continually bringing you guys the best we can. And I, again, thank you for the emails. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the continued updates. I love it when you guys send me updates on certain things that are happening. And thank you for the reviews. I'm going to be going over those in a little bit, probably next week, and see what you guys have reviewed the most and put it on sale on whether to change the recommendation for the Hep B shot, the first vaccine that children get in the United States. If you're an uninformed parent, I should say, if you're informed, the child probably never get that shot, and they'll be just fine. They voted 6-3 to defer the vote. Dr. Kirk Malone, panel's new chairman, was not present during the vote and will not be available tomorrow because he's traveling. Said members said they wanted to delay the vote over concerns about last-minute change in language. The language for the vote has initially said the committee was set to advise the CDC to only recommend birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine to infants born to mothers with tests positive for Hep B. That was changed to continue also recommending the early dose for infants born to mothers who had an unknown Hep B status. So just give you guys an update on that. I'll keep you informed. I know a lot of people have been intrigued on what's been going on with that. And nice of you to join me today.
Well, you know, it's good to be here.
Friday.
I love doing your show. I'm glad we're back here on Friday.
I'm glad you're on my show, too.
Was that a Freudian slip?
Hey, man. Sometimes
I'm not going anywhere.
I need you around for a little bit. Solo shows are rough.
I figure another 20 years will do it.
Yeah.
That'll get me up to about, 50, so I'll be good.
And ironically, now, the former FDA commissioner.
You missed that joke. That was a good joke.
I know. I'm more than that. I think you'd be around longer than that for me. I don't want to do solo that soon. You at least got to wait long enough for 100.
Nobody realizes how difficult it is. Give me a camera. Thank you. Nobody realizes when you do a solo broadcast. I remember the first time I did it with Joe, I did Joyce Riley's show way back when, 15 years ago. And they didn't have any guests scheduled. They didn't have anything scheduled at all. It was me, a solo show for 3 hours. And it was awful, to be honest
with you. That's rough.
No, it was awful. I mean, I'm talking into a doggone microphone. No camera, just a microphone for 3 hours. Thinking to myself, what am I doing? This is horrible. And I walked into the house before we started doing this show, and Sharon was in there. And I said, I'm exhausted. I'm going to go take a nap. Because, I mean, the only reason it was possible, Austin, was because we had commercial breaks every 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, that breaks it up some. That's the hardest part. And you've done it solo on this show. I've done a ton of solo shows last year for him, and it's rough on this show. An hour straight with no breaks, no commercials, no ads.
You got to take a breath and a sip of water. Well, the biggest problem with a solo show is you have to have your research articles printed.
Most of the time, yeah.
Because
you got to have a backup.
Well, if your iPad goes out, now you're just sitting here looking at the camera going, this is great. So,
hey, guys.
But it's interesting. Oh, by the way, Melania and Donald Trump actually yelled at the Christmas tree ceremony, and they actually had a few scriptures they quoted. So I thought that was pretty nice that they actually did that. So I like that.
They really decorated the White House.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, it's AI booms. The U.S. ignores one threat that could turn off everything. And, we've read about this for a long time. It was, one day after that kind of stuff, the books that were written years ago. We are now well past the dawn of the age of artificial intelligence. According to the recent survey by the Pew Research Center, 62% of respondents say they interact with AI at least several times a week.
I believe it.
That's crazy. Nearly every company. Well, if you're calling up American Airlines and a lot of these other companies, you're already interacting with AI.
Yeah, I mean, you go to ask a question on some of these chatbot assists, it's all AI.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told you, it's been 4 or 5 months ago now. I was on a dating app, and I talked to this girl via a FaceTime call or whatever it was. It was full AI.
Yeah.
I'm warning you guys, it's full AI. It was interacting with me. I mean,
yeah.
Every once in a while, you go, glitch after you ask it a question. I thought, I'm talking to a stinking computer image.
How weird is that?
And they immediately, after I had done that, started asking me personal financial questions.
They told me that. They started basically just fishing.
No, they were
fishing.
No, I couldn't. And it was crazy. I thought, this is the world that we live in has gotten so extreme. But now what they're saying now is that hundreds of billions of dollars being poured into building new data centers. And it says that our whole economy now is being built around AI. They said the biggest problem that we have now is basically a Carrington event or a massive solar storm or an electromagnetic pulse that could turn off the entire grid and shut things down. We talked about this yesterday, and now they're talking about it
Yeah. Here's the issue that we're running into is that we're starting to put so much reliance on AI technology. We're deferring workers. We're pushing off companies. We're turning everything into a full-blown AI system. That's why Amazon's laid off with 30,000 employees now. They run everything digital. They run everything through AI.
Well, they've got little computers that run around, little carts that are all computerized.
Yeah.
They pick and sort and pack.
Right. And so, like you said, what happens if you get a solar flare? What happens if you get an EMP? What happens if you get some type of Mac? I mean, look at what happened when the servers went down, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
They went down for a couple hours. The whole country stopped. I mean, everybody I knew, nobody could even charge credit cards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was insane. It was a couple hours. It was like a three-hour glitch.
But I personally think that's the boys that are breathing free air that are doing beta testing.
Oh, interesting.
Because I remember years ago I had a Fulbright colonel,
yeah,
who basically played war games.
Yeah.
In other words, she was working with whatever intelligence, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they were doing all of these things with the Mississippi River as far as flooding.
Yeah.
And they were doing all these beta tests on it. And they were doing all these computer simulations. Suddenly, the Mississippi River starts flooding.
Yeah.
Suddenly, they start having droughts with the Mississippi River. And they were, of course, they were working with geoengineering, in my opinion. But the crazy part about all of this stuff is that she was talking to me about it, joking about it, like it was just a game, like it was just a video game. And as of course, full bird colonel, full military intelligence. And, the technology that they have is so extreme now that it's mind-boggling.
Well, look at Event 201, that massive war game pandemic playbook, not even playbook, exercise simulation that they did at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. It was a 3.5 hour global pandemic simulation exercise in October of 2019, right before the COVID-19 outbreak happened. It was hosted by the Johns Hopkins Center for Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You can't add a creepier duo.
Okay, don't you remember when 9/11 happened? They were doing the same simulation.
And then they had that TV show. They also had a TV show. A lot of you guys don't know this. There's a TV show that released an episode, I think it was 2 months before 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And the plane had been taken over by a terrorist, and they were going to run it into the 9/11, the Twin Towers, mm-hmm. to basically set up a scenario so they could go to war. I mean, it was the exact scenario that happened. It was on TV. They pulled the episode. Everything got pulled. You can find it on, I think you find it on YouTube still. I watched it the other day.
But again, all of this, nothing happens in government that's not been pre-planned, period. It's just everything's planned out with contingency events. They have multiple contingency events in case something happens, yep. that they can't predict, that they have the ability to go in and say, okay, we planned on this happening if this scenario hit, and now we're going to go ahead and implement it. And it happens. 9/11, we had DARPA developing the mRNA shots 25 years ago.
They're already ready to go.
Super soldier program.
That's why I tried to explain to everybody when it was happening. I said, you got to understand. I said, this entire event has been orchestrated. The RNA shot, that level of gene therapy experimentation did not come out of Pfizer after 3 months of research.
Nope.
They didn't just pop up with that. It's impossible to develop that level of research in 3 months and have 6 billion bottles already bottled up, ready to go. Oh, we're ready to go.
It took decades to make that much vaccine.
Years and years.
That's why it was
years.
In deep freezers.
Yes, that's why they had to keep them at, negative 90 degrees Celsius?
No, 270 degrees.
Was it Fahrenheit? It's like
crazy.
-90 Celsius. Yeah. I mean, right here. I mean, you look it up. I mean, they're very open about it. The primary goal of Event 21 in October 2019 to simulate a fictional coronavirus pandemic. The fictional scenario depicted a novel zootonic coronavirus that originated in bats and spread to pigs in Brazil before becoming easily transmissible to humans, eventually spreading globally. The simulation ended at an 18-month mark with projected 65 million dead. This is in October 2019. They had a full simulation war game at World Economic Forum and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation depicting how many people are going to die from a coronavirus.
Well, it's all planned. And remember, the coronavirus wasn't the pandemic. It was the vaccine.
That's exactly right. You know, the virus was another mutated flu they brewed up. The shot was the pandemic.
And speaking about shooting somebody, this is a very important thing that we need to take a look at real quick.
We referenced never mind.
Suspected pirates swarm a bulk carrier in a critical Red Sea maritime checkpoint, and they had gunfire between both
ships.
They
light them up?
They lit them up.
Oh, yeah.
And this week's maritime focus, mostly centered on Ukraine's drone strikes against Russia's Shadow Fleet tankers, has shifted to the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the critical checkpoint linking the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, where reports indicate a bulk carrier has come under attack. You know, this is crazy. And, you know, the thing about it is, a vessel reports sighting possibly 15 small craft. Some of the small craft closed within a range of 1 to 2 cables, whatever that means. And there was exchange of fire, UKMTO wrote in a warning notice. So this is an interesting experience that these people have had. Maritime analytics provide maritime traffic posted on update using X. This bulk carrier was approximately. Again, I didn't write this. This is what it says. It is written poorly. Maritime traffic, you could tell it was another person's language. Maritime traffic provided further details about the attack. And what was interesting, they lit them up. And I think they pretty much stopped it. But the reality is that all of these bulk carriers now, they should have.
They all got contractors.
Okay, first of all, they're running 308s, okay? And the problem is that's not enough. They need to be having a doggone minigun to the front of these boats and station down the side.
34. They need a 50 cal.
With a belt feed.
The M2HB is enough. The minigun is a hard gun to maintain, man.
Is it really?
Salt water like that, yeah, it's a hard gun to maintain. Needs a ton of lubrication, ton of parts. That M2HB, you can just, I mean.
M2HB, now is that
a 50 cal, the belt fed.
Okay.
That's the Browning automatic 50 cal. That gun, you literally just take a handful of grease. I mean, just any grease, axle grease, and shove that thing in the mechanism on it. Rack it. It's hot, dude. That gun, you can beat that thing to death.
Well, they need to have about 20 of them on that ship, 10 on each side. These are 1,000-foot ships.
Now, the 50 cal takes, 50 cal cures all.
Well, you line them up 2 miles away if you want.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just that weapon system is so reliable and so effective.
Well, if you're 100 feet up in the air to start with,
yeah.
You know, and you basically line them up with a 50, you could do it a long ways off.
Yeah. That's testing the range on it.
Yeah, that's. We're told, so now we're talking about lighting up pirates.
Where are we going? This is Friday.
That's what the Marine Corps did. That's why the shores of Tripoli, they had enough of those Barbary Coast pirates.
Oh, yeah.
And they lit them up in the 1800s, early 1900s. They went over there and said, we've had enough of you guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why the song says that, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. They got rid of those guys coming in, enslaving ports of people, coming in, stealing people. And
the problem is they had nothing else to do. They don't know how to function or do anything.
Well, no, that's their career.
That's their career. No, their career is being a pirate.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Good career path, buddy.
Speaking of career paths, German leaders are now planning to cut red tape in just 200 steps. Had to be 200 steps for the Germans. Couldn't be 2 steps or 10 steps. 200 steps. When it comes to tackling bureaucracy, why stop at the measure of 2? Premiers of Germany's 16 states want to go further, so they drafted a 200-point plan to ease the country's bureaucratic burdens. The Germany loves to keep records on everything. You know, that was a big problem when concentration camps had a tendency to keep records. You got a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
And the problem with all of this stuff is Germany is just all about rules and rules and more rules and more rules and more rules.
200 steps. Sometimes they overcomplicate stuff, though.
Well, that's why they make great pilots, because they know how to follow the rules. The biggest problem they have, though, is I was talking to Sia the other day, and she was talking about IKEA. She said IKEA had a big rule over there. They changed it. They can let people do refunds of IKEA, regardless of the date. And so these Germans had kept records of their IKEA purchases from 20 years earlier, you know, in binders with in acetates. And they started bringing stuff back after decades.
Emergency's laminated.
And IKEA had to change the policy because the Germans were so organized, they were able to bring in, we need a refund on this. We're going to change this out, you know.
20 years ago.
I don't know the exact. But I'm not sure if it was 20 years, but it was a minute. So they had to change that plan real quick with IKEA. By the way, if you think any IKEA furniture is going to last for 20 years, you're dreaming anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing nice about IKEA is, you know, let's say you buy a, let's say you go and buy a bedroom set. It's $5,000. Okay, you go to try to sell that a year later. It's $500.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
I don't care who makes it, whether it's Drexel or Hendron, unless it's an antique. Okay, it's not going to be worth much. And so after you get the use out of it, you have to kind of throw it away. And so at least if you get something that's cheaply made like IKEA, if you get tired of looking at it, you just trash it and done with it.
That's pretty much what you have to do with a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah. You get a couple years out of it, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So, heavy use. Yeah,
because if you try to buy this vintage stuff, that's okay, but then you got to worry about it falling apart all the time. So you got to be careful with that, too.
Some of the old school stuff, though, it'll last for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, the Netflix, the gay movie programs. God, it's so sickening. It is stuck. It has now struck a deal to buy Warner Brothers.
Are you serious?
It's buying it for $27.75 per share. So it's picking up Warner Brothers.
That's a big cash buy, though. What's the total value? Warner Brothers is big.
Yeah, it's not saying. But the reality is what it's doing is it's basically wanting to have a bigger market. And that way it can come in and get considered more legitimately for the Oscars and everything else. And Netflix puts out a lot of movies.
Oh, they do. And they're putting in. I found this out from one of my buddies in Orlando that does a lot of videography. Netflix is putting in a $1 billion studio up in New Jersey right now. Currently, $1 billion studio. I mean, gigantic studio. They're moving everything out of California.
You know, I don't have a problem with them doing that.
I don't either. If they just stop producing tranny gay stuff,
I know it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest problem that I have with it. And, I mean, and then, you know, you want to know who owns Netflix. I mean, it doesn't take much but a couple keystroke clicks, and you find out really quick top shareholders are Vanguard, BlackRock, and Morgan Chase. I mean, you pull it up right here, and you wonder why they produce so much filth. And it's rough because, you know, the American population, we've always loved movies. You know, we've loved movies. Warner Brothers is valued at, Warner Brothers is valued at $82 billion. That's selling to Netflix for $82 billion. That's some cash. They're putting some. I'm talking about $100 billion deal with Netflix. Let's pull it up.
Yeah, well, Netflix has to be making a lot of money.
Netflix has to be making a lot of money.
But you got to remember, though, the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan that owns all of this stuff, they want more perversion, more perversion, more perversion. So they don't care how much money it costs.
Well, and what
they print the currency.
That's
anyhow.
Exactly right. And, I mean, all they got to do is BlackRock has to liquidate some shares or something else. Remember, they hold, what, 16, 16, not a billion, 16 trillion?
Yeah, between the three of them.
Yeah, close to 20. Just BlackRock.
Oh, I didn't know.
Just BlackRock by themselves.
I know it's over 20 trillion for the three
of
them.
Yeah. I mean, so.
Well, they own the world.
So you're talking about an $82 billion deal.
Whatever.
It's just an easier way to pervert the population.
That's
right.
That's a tenth of a trillion.
Right. So what they want to do is they want to consolidate all the movie vendors, all the studios.
Ooh, you're right. That's what they're doing. They're buying up everything.
They're buying up everything. They're going to consolidate all the movies. So eventually they're going to be able to pollute the entire media if it's not bad enough.
When's the last time you saw a good movie? I mean a really good movie at the theater.
That's hard.
That last Superman was a fiasco.
The last movie I actually saw at the theater, this wouldn't count, though, so I took the kids to go see Back to the Future when it was in the theater for 3 days.
The last good, solid movie that I saw, really, really good, was Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, I was about to say
that. And that last Mission Impossible was okay.
Mission Impossible was decent.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
That's it.
Most of it's just crap. I used to love going to the movies. I don't hardly go at all anymore.
And Netflix, I cancel my subscription, which I suggest that you all cancel your subscription to Netflix.
Absolutely.
What a bunch of filth.
I mean, I told this before. I said they started bringing some of the films back from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah,
every time they do it at my theater at Cinemark, they pack out. Movies sold out. Back to the Future sold out. Well, there's not a seat available.
Look at Top Gun Maverick. It ran and ran.
It came back.
Ran. Yeah.
Remember? And then it came back.
Yeah. And it was packed out again.
Yeah. I mean, if they brought movies like Terminator so we could get a more better idea on AI. I mean, remember they brought Terminator 2 back to the big screen? You know how big that movie would be?
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, by the way, the Admiral is saying there was no kill them all order in the boat attack, but the video says differently. And by the way, the survivors clung to the wreckage for an hour before the second strike.
Oh, so they thought about this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They thought about it before they gave the air on. You know, it's so crazy about this. Why didn't they just send a naval boat out there to pick them up and interrogate them and get more intel?
They're probably fishing.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't have it.
Well, no, because
don't you remember? You probably don't remember this. When John Kerry was running for president years ago, you know, he was a swift boat captain in the Vietnam War.
Right. I remember that.
And all the guys that were on those boats with him came out, not all of them, but a bunch of them came out and testified against him. And did ads against him. They had too many witnesses.
Yeah.
You know, when SEAL Team 6 supposedly killed Osama bin Laden. Remember that lie? I remember I told Sharon.
And that Chinook goes down.
I told Sharon. I said they're all – and I we were in Europe when that happened. And we were in Europe when the Chinook went down. And I told Sharon as soon as that came out, when they all went to the White House, and they said, oh, we killed Osama bin Laden. All a lie, by the way. I said they're all dead. And you remember I told you that. I said they're all dead men. I said there are too many witnesses. They don't want a bunch of swift boat captains coming out saying it's not true.
They don't want – well, SEALs have too much credibility. And they start coming out and they start saying, well, no, this is not how it happened. This is not who we actually killed in this raid.
No.
This is a whole different story when you told it all of a sudden. Well, you can't talk anymore.
Oh, they kill him and they put him on a helicopter. They dump him at the ocean.
Yeah, do a sea funeral.
Yeah, whatever. No DNA testing.
From a strategic intel standpoint, it makes no sense if these guys are allegedly running dope and they're narco traffickers, right? And you have two survivors. Wouldn't you want to detain them and arrest them and basically interrogate them and figure out more information about where they're running the dope from, when they're doing this? That would make sense from a strategic standpoint instead of just executing them again. But again, like you said, maybe they didn't want to have any information.
Well,
want to talk to anybody.
Well, look at Maduro now. He's asked for $200 million in a deal with Trump to flee Venezuela. This is Drudge. I'm not making this stuff up. We don't make stuff up on the Ted Nelson Brewer Show. Venezuela president has blanket amnesty demand for top officials a deal breaker for Washington. I don't see why it's a deal breaker. Just $200 million, whatever that means. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me.
We're spending
$100 million on a ballroom.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Venezuela president asked to keep $200 million of his private wealth. He's not asking him to pay. He wants to keep the $200 million, amnesty for his officials, and safe harbor in a friendly country as part of a deal with Donald Trump to step down and flee. Those familiar with this phone call between the two leaders told the Telegraph the plan fell apart owing to Nick Lowe's demands to keep 100 top officials. During a 15-minute call, the two leaders also disagreed on how to get up transitional government, what Maduro would do. Mr. Trump suggested China or Russia, according to one source, while the Venezuelan president was intent on staying in the Western Hemisphere in a friendly Cuban country such as Cuba. In the interim, Qatar has emerged as a possible compromise. Wait a minute. Okay, so let's stop for a second. Let's do a little bit of a scenario here. Okay, we're going to a foreign country, you know, and we're saying to them, by the way, we are going to depose you and kill you if you don't get out of your country and leave your country right away. And quite frankly, you want to keep $200 million of your own money. We got to think about that. And now you want to go to Cuba. We're going to say no to that. We're going to put you in Qatar. But we're going to tell you what you're going to do with your country and how you're going to run your country and what you're going to do with your country and how you're going to get out of your country. Who in the world does the United States think they are, Austin?
Well, I figured out why they're going after him so hard.
Is it drug stuff or something else? Or do they want the oil?
Zionism access is behind this. After dispute election result, Maduro blames Jews for the Venezuela crisis.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What article is this?
This is the First Post. Jerusalem Post covered it, too. Whoa, Venezuela ruler Nicolas Maduro faces intense protests. He has found a bunch of people to blame, essentially the Jews. He said the Jews control the international media and are driving the movement against him. I'll let you guys just think about that one for a minute.
Well, it's kind of what Kanye said. It's kind of what Candace Owens said.
It's kind of what Jesus said in John 8.
It's what kind of like Charlie Kirk said.
Man. Anyways.
But you know,
it's Friday.
You know what Henry Ford said? He wrote a bunch of papers called The International Jew. Henry Ford did. I'm just quoting Henry Ford.
I've read part of it.
He was a really, really massive anti-Semite.
He was also very, very successful.
He's also best buddies with Hitler. He got some big award from Hitler. And, you know, why does Hitler always come up on the show?
I don't know why. That's you. You bring it up all the time.
But, you know, what was funny about it is, I mean, you know.
I just read part of the articles.
Well,
there's like 10 different articles.
Well, no, Henry Ford said that when you get down to it, it's the international banking community, which is primarily Jewish, that runs the world. And they're the ones that are behind pretty much everything. He said, if you dig under the rock deep enough, this is what you find. And now Maduro's coming out saying
this. That's what he said. He said international media is hammering him. And now, granted, I'm not a Maduro sympathizer. So don't come at me and write me letters. Or Maduro, you like him. I don't like him at all. I think he's a crazy individual. A lot of stuff he's about. He's a dictator. However, he's been pretty vocal. I'm not even going to read everything in this article. I'm not going to go there today on Friday. But he pretty much calls them out for like everything they allegedly do all the time.
Well, go back to the article. I haven't read it. I want to see what it says.
No, we're not going to go through it today. We got a lot of health stuff to cover on here. I'll post it. You guys can read it yourself on there.
I want to read it.
I'll send it to you. I don't want to go there on Friday, man. Everybody's going to send me emails. I don't need emails today. The weekend's coming.
I'm surprised they're still sending emails about that particular topic.
Hey, random. I think it's new listeners.
We've kind of run everybody off on that. It's the new listeners, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, this is an interesting topic. Remember how they just came out a couple weeks ago and they said the new RNA flu shot is super effective and it's better than the regular flu shot and it's all RNA. No, it completely failed. Clinical trial among seniors, FDA commissioners now said, we're not going to rubber stamp new products that don't work. This failed in clinical trials. Wait a minute. Pfizer just came out 2 weeks ago and said, oh, no, it's great. This RNA flu vaccine works better than anything we've ever tested. No, it's safe and effective. The fact that they said that. They said Pfizer, now it's coming out. Now Pfizer's experimental influenza vaccine will not receive approval with new data proving it protects seniors against the flu, and it does not. The RNA shot failed. The trial showed zero benefit. We're not just going to rubber stamp new products that don't work, that failed in clinical trials. It makes a mockery of science.
Well, they've already done that.
Mockery of science? The COVID shot is 97% effective. Oh, wait, never mind. It's 82% effective. Oh, sorry, it's 60% effective. Oh, wait, we just realized it's not effective. It's making everybody sick. Whoopsie. Better luck next time. Maybe we'll make a better decision when we tell you to take a shot that's not approved. It's only emergency use authorization. Pfizer's media team has not responded to a request for comment now. The experimental shot did not perform as expected. And, yeah, wonder why. Because gene therapy, RNA gene therapy, is not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. It's like CRISPR-9. You're modifying the body. It's not you're not putting a dead virus in the body and allowing it, you know, the body to build a natural immune response to it. This is crazy. You know, and you look at this stuff, and I was talking to a friend of mine again yesterday. They have a kid. They're not shooting any shots in it. And I told him, I said, does it make any sense to you? Any sense in the world, right? You think about this for a second. You go into the 6-month meeting with your pediatrician, right, Dan? 6-month meeting. Oh, we need to give him a diphtheria and pertussis and tetanus and measles and mumps and rubella and COVID and flu shot. They know all these shots at 6-month-old. You go, why? It's virtually impossible, A, they're going to even probably get exposed to one of those at 6 months, much less all 7 or 8 of them at one time. No. It's science. It's been proven. If you took your, and to follow me on this, if you took your child to the doctor and you said, doc, I got a problem. My child's unbelievably sick. They've been exposed. They've been exposed to diphtheria and pertussis and tetanus and measles and mumps and rubella. Do you know what that doctor would do? They would call Department of Child Services on you. Think about that for a second. They'd call CPS on you and say, you're a derelict parent. How in the world did your child get exposed to this many viruses, this many contagious substances? How did you possibly? That's impossible. But yet, you take him into the shot schedule with the doctor, and they shoot him up with no question. Just thought I would bring that up there so you get a little comparison on there. What do you think?
I think it's too many shots. The mRNA shot doesn't work. I think they lie about it. The one that really got me, what was her name? Was it Deborah Brix? Was that her name? The one weird woman
Brix, with the scarf? Brix, Brix, the ones that always had the fancy scarves on. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
You know, she just disappeared.
You know, the thing about her was, and I'm not trying to pick her on as an individual, but she just had that face you had to hate. That's awful to say that, isn't it?
So did Fauci.
She had that real condescending attitude. I mean, have you ever met anybody like that? They kind of roll their eyes at you when they see you, and they kind of look at you down their nose, and they're like, oh.
They always got this disgusted look on their face.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're like, look, I know you're a peasant. You know you're a peasant. We both know you're a peasant. It doesn't matter if you try to deny being a peasant. We all know that you're a peasant, and I'm better than you because I have this Ivy League pedigree, and I'm wearing a scarf. Look at me. And you're like, oh, God, I'm going to puke. No.
No, it is exactly right.
No, I have seen it. It's I met this guy at Florida State one time. Some big whatever, what he was up there. I had a party at his house. And I said, well, how many acres do you own here? Look to the horizon. It doesn't go that far. That's what he said to me. No, get me wrong. It was a thing at Florida State, way back when, 20 years ago. So they invited us to this party at this guy's house. And I asked him, he's in the middle of nowhere. So I thought he was on this big, you know, I think he had carved out like 2 acres or something. So you don't want to tell me how much land he owned. But he was in the middle of nothing. It was like in the middle of a giant plantation.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was gated around him. So I wasn't sure how many acres he had.
Yeah.
And that's what he said to me. I said, I was curious. I said, wow, you got a beautiful place here. I mean, you're really out in the country. How many acres do you have here? Look unto the horizon. It doesn't go that far. And I looked at him. I said, oh, God, I need to slap you, boy. He said that to me, Austin.
I'm sure you responded very well.
I looked at Sharon and I said, we got to go. We got to go right now. I'm going to say something ugly here in a minute.
We're leaving now or I'm going to get kicked out in 5 minutes.
Well, no. And then I said to him, I said, look, because we're in the RV, right? And I said, look, it's 9 o'clock at night. I said, we have a hard time getting a camping spot. Do you mind if we camp at the end of the road on your driveway at the end?
Yeah.
Off your property? No, you may not park here. I'm like, it's a fully self-contained RV. We're not going to do anything besides park there and get up and leave at 7 in the morning. No, you may not park there. So we end up going to Silver Lake, which is a campground up there in Tallahassee. It was locked up, of course. Gates all locked up.
Of course.
So we parked out in front of there and spent the night there. I told Sharon, I said, what a bunch of nutbags. If somebody asks you, if they got a fully contained self-contained RV and they ask you to park on your property, they don't have to plug in. They don't need water. They don't need sewage. They don't need anything. Just tell them yes. It's not a big deal. But wow. And I wasn't going to move in with this dude. I wasn't going to move on to his property. I was in park there for 8 hours and leave.
He's seen a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation too many times.
He's going to start dumping sewage.
Yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, it's going to look good out front of your house. You know, don't fall in love with it when we leave here next month.
You know what's so funny? I remember if any of you've had RVs and you had to dump sewage out of them, it's disgusting. And I remember one time Savannah was dumping the sewage and the pipe came apart with her. Do you remember that?
No, it's Friday. Stop.
You remember that, don't you? And I mean, she was had this look of horror. She's like 10 years old.
Disgusting.
She had the look of horror on her face. And I told her, I said, yeah, that's a mess. but don't be doing the Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation thing and dumping your sewage in the gutter and having all the methane gas ignite. Don't be doing all that. Just stay away from all that.
It's ridiculous.
Everybody has to watch that movie at least once over the Christmas.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
My thing is that doggone when he cuts into that turkey and it kind of just deflates and nobody can
deflates.
Chew on it. And that cat gets, oh well, the cat gets ignited, right? And the Christmas tree burns up, the wild squirrel. That's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
It's a classic.
It is.
Yeah, it's
a little bit of humor here.
A little bit of humor there. Oh, this is interesting now. The FDA is doing a full-blown investigation into the deaths of the children that died from the COVID-19 vaccination. As federal officers acknowledged for the first time that COVID-19 vaccines resulted in the direct death of young kids. This is the first time federal officials have ever admitted this. This is a profound revelation, Dr. Vinay Prasad said in an internal memorandum sent on November 28th. We talked about this now, and they said the investigation has been on their way. They're looking into the reports lodged in the Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, which is managed by the FDA and the CDC, and people experience problems after vaccination, and digging into essentially what happened with these kids. And they said possibility, more likely, is the myocarditis or the heart inflammation or the pericarditis that is leading to these children's death after the shot. And it's sad because I read an article about the dad. The dad had a super healthy son. He was a single dad. I don't know what happened to his wife or his mom, but he had full custody. And the kid was super healthy, played in sports, had no problems whatsoever. He was like his best friend, 16 years old. And kid took the shot, dead 2 days later, dead. 16-year-old, dropped dead, massive heart attack. And this is what actually spurred it, because this guy has been raising hell so much and calling up legislators, calling up the health departments, and he has not stopped. And I can't blame him. I mean, his only family, 16-year-old son, dies 2 days after he gets a shot. And I mean, he has been going absolutely ballistic for the last 2 years on this. And apparently, he got Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s attention. And they said, okay, this is not a joke anymore. This is real. These kids are dying directly from the shot. There's no other conclusion we can come to. They're perfectly healthy, no underlying health conditions. They take the shot, massive heart attack 2 days later.
You're talking about the COVID shot now.
Yes, talking about the COVID shot. And so the FDA is doing a full investigation of this now as far as what exactly is causing these deaths among these kids. And the FDA is admitting that the COVID-19 shot directly linked to 10, at least so far, 10 children deaths, meaning the shot killed them. and they're admitting it, and now they're doing a full investigation into it.
I forgot that one girl's name. She took that shot on the air. Now, whether that was true or staged or what was her name?
Yeah, she was that nurse.
And she just dropped dead.
She passed out.
Yeah.
Well, on the video.
Yeah, we know she died.
But then all of a sudden, there was so much weirdness that came out.
Tiffany Dover.
That's what I forgot all about that.
I wonder what ever happened to her.
Well, what I read later on is that she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no social media posts, nothing. And suddenly, some girl that looks like her starts reposting stuff.
Look at Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
I mean, he ends up in the hospital, like, you know, about dead. And all of a sudden, he comes popping back out again, supposedly.
Look at all the football players, all the soccer players.
1,500 top athletes dropped dead.
Heart attack on the field. These guys are top tier one athletes. And just... massive heart attack out of nowhere. Eventually, you got to start saying, what did everybody have in relation with one another? I don't know. Maybe an RNA gene therapy COVID-19 vaccine?
Remember what DARPA said? They said they couldn't use the product because everybody...
Too much fallout.
All the cats and ferrets all died.
Too much fallout. They didn't want to keep testing on the soldiers because the guys are too expensive to train. You can't keep having all the soldiers die that take the shot. It's too expensive. Loss of soldiers. Mm-hmm. Even DARPA has its limits on how many people wants to kill in the military. But, you know,
that's a cold thing to say. That's dark, man.
You GI, man, you're a government issue. That's it, bro.
I mean, they tested all kinds of crazy stuff.
Anthrax?
Anthrax? They tested radiation. They tested nuclear fallout. They tested everything on the soldiers. Government issue, GI.
I mean, the anthrax is insane. We knew an aircraft pilot basically was in the Air Force.
Yep.
And he got...
he was helicopter pilot.
He got court-martialed. That's your court-martialed during that storm.
His name was Eric.
Desert Storm with anthrax.
We met him out there in Montana with some Amish people.
Yeah.
And I remember they had to arrest him, you know, in the military, and they didn't have barracks for officers for the jail. And they had to set him up in a separate barracks because he couldn't be in with the enlisted guys.
Because they can't hold
no fraternization.
Yeah, enlisted with officers in a jail cell.
And finally, I think they allowed him. I'm not sure if he got a dishonorable discharge or not, or they allowed him to just basically resign his commission. I can't remember.
I mean, he resigned his commission. I think they ended up dropping it down on appeals to an honorable discharge, but he was getting court-martialed originally.
Yeah.
It drug out because he said, "I'm not." He was everybody I know.
He had a dozen children. He had a dozen kids.
Yeah, literally. He said, "Everybody I know right now, everybody is getting unbelievably sick from the anthrax vaccine. They're in bed for weeks, swollen up like a watermelon, can't move, throwing up." After they get the anthrax shot, he goes, how many times do we want to watch everybody have the same effect after we get the shot? He goes, I'm not taking it. You're going to take it. I'm not taking it. Okay, we're court-martialing you.
He should have just resigned his commission. I think he probably could have done that.
I think he had that option at that point.
Really? Because if we were at war, we couldn't do that.
Exactly right. You're no longer wartime, ready. So, wow. Yeah. Interesting. So we're going to see this. I am really glad to see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in here. Really digging up the roaches and shining the spotlight on them now.
Oh, no, he is. By the way, Palantir now is launching a chain reaction to build American AI infrastructure. Founding partners include CenterPoint Energy and Nvidia. Denver, Palantir Technologies, today unveiled a chain reaction, the operating system for American AI infrastructure. The bottleneck to AI innovation is no longer algorithms, it's power and compute. America is at an inflection point in the energy infrastructure build-out. This is why they got rid of the electric cars.
Yep.
I'm letting you guys know what happened here. And it requires software built for an entirely different scale. Chain Reaction is designed to address this directly by accelerating the AI build-out with energy producers, power distributors. It all goes back to power, data centers, infrastructure builders to transform aging power generation to high uptime resources capable of meeting AI's massive demand. Think about this. We're redoing the entire power infrastructure for AI, for a sentient computer system controlled through another dimension through Lucifer. Just thought I'd mention that. Stabilize and expand the power grid to meet surging demand from data centers and electrification. Accelerate construction of new generation transmission and compute capacity. Enable the design, development, and reproducibility of future hyperscale data centers up supporting AI workloads. Here's the problem I have. We briefly mentioned this earlier in the show. You know, when you get all of this computer stuff and all of these robots doing everything, what's the purpose of us being here anymore?
That's a good question.
And I'm asking that. I mean, if you're going to give a sentient machine the ability to control the planet and control everything, including your thoughts, your mind, it kind of sounds like Genesis 6 all over again.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and so here's the deal. They had to find a way to increase the ability of the grid to carry the massive power, and they couldn't do it by plugging in cars. Those cars take a lot of juice. You plug one of these wretched Teslas into a 110 outlet, you know, 48 hours later, you get like an extra 4 hours of drive time. It's awful. You got they got to suck up 220 volt. I mean, they got to suck it up quick.
It's crazy. You're talking about Palantir. I just pulled this article up. I was reading about it earlier. They were directly involved with Lavender program.
Of course they were.
Says Palantir allegedly enables Israel's AI targeting in Gaza, raising concerns about war crimes.
Well, that tells you who owns Palantir.
Imagine that. Well,
that tells you who pays Palantir's owned by them.
There you go. Says earlier, this article is from way back, said earlier we saw a continuation of AI effort with targeting of three well-marked, fully approved aid vehicles belonging to the World Central Kitchen. Remember this?
Yeah.
They said killing seven occupants, ensuring that the food would never reach. The targeting was precise, placing missiles dead center in the AIDS agency's rooftop logos. Israel said it was simply a mistake, similar to the mistakenly killing of 200 aid workers in just a matter of months before that. Such horrendous mistakes are hard to understand considering the enormous amount of advanced targeting AI hardware and software provided to Israeli military and spy agencies by Palantir.
Why are you the only person that covered this, Austin? I didn't hear this from anybody else.
I brought up Lavender. Nobody knocked on
Lavender. I remember
Lavender.
You were on a podcast as a guest one time. You brought up Lavender. And they shut the whole conversation down. They didn't want to hear it.
They did.
And the sad part about this is you got to ask yourself a question. You know, why in the world is this Israel's killing machine in Gaza, and how U.S. intelligence and the American company Palantir feedings this? So now you got to ask yourself a question, what Maduro said.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But we're going to go there for a second. If they're controlling everything, including this coup d'etat against Maduro, including overthrowing governments, what else do they control also? I remember Benjamin Netanyahu told me personally to that group of people that we were at that day, that 12 of us having lunch with him, over 30 years ago now, that basically all of the software programs in the world that come through Israel all have back doors, and Israel
backdoors
can go back
inside.
Into all of them. Now that's not some hearsay, okay? That's from Benjamin Netanyahu's mouth to my ears. And I mean,
he's such a slimeball.
No, and you know, here's the problem. At that point in time, way back when, I was pretty much, you know, pro-Israel.
Yeah.
I didn't think much about him saying that. I don't care. You know, we got to support Israel. I used to be like that, by the way. And then I had my awakening. You know, I started seeing what was really going on. And I said, well, this ain't right. This is awful. This
I've
is
been awake for a long time.
I woke up a long time. I woke you up when you were about eight.
I never fell asleep.
Because I started to realize, well, the problem, once you start asking the hard questions, like...
And they can't be answered.
Why are we allowing you to kill 200,000 people in Gaza and continue to send you money to do it? Like, why are we doing this? And so you got to ask yourself a question. What parts of Congress do you control to allow yourself to get that kind of funding?
Yeah, fund your own genocide. If that's really what you want to do, that's your prerogative. You know, why is it our prerogative?
Well, let's notch it down a notch. The Rothschild banking control is Israel's their fiefdom, period.
Right.
They formed it, right, with the Balfour Declaration with Lord Rothschild. They did all that. Now, you can pretend like it didn't happen. It happened during World War I. Here's the problem that you've got with all of this stuff. If you're already a trillionaire, which they are, they own the world's banking system. All the currency belongs to them. It's all debt-based monetary systems.
Every country's in debt.
No, they're trillionaires, okay? They're trillionaires, okay? How much money is enough? And why do you have to continue to extract wealth from us to support your genocide when you can just print your own stinking currency anywhere you want and do whatever you want to do in Israel? Why do you have to drag us into this ditch? Oh, that's right. It makes us culpable, doesn't it, Austin?
There you go.
And that way they're not culpable. We're culpable because we're involved in it. And suddenly the world can't look at them and say, here, look at this, look at this. They're saying, look at the United States, look at the United States. Look what we're doing.
Well, then what they do is they deflect it. They say, we wouldn't be doing this in Palestine if you guys weren't helping us and giving us these weapons.
You're supporting us.
We thought you wanted this. We're doing this for you guys. We're doing it for you.
And you're like,
I'm gaslighting me.
No, I'll never forget. I was in Gimmelwald in Switzerland. Up in the mountains. I mean, you had to get there with a tram. You couldn't even drive there. And I remember we had a guy named Ollie. He had a bed and breakfast there. Rick Steves was there. And Ollie, you know, Rick Steves is the guy from the Travel Channel. And in case you guys don't know this stuff, I don't watch that anymore.
Watch that show
I don't have cable anymore. I don't see anything.
Back in the day.
And I remember he said to me, he goes, what's wrong with you people in the United States? You voted for this. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't vote for any of that. We got a rogue government. And then I started sending him links because he gave me his email. Now, who knows what kind of internet speed he had up there in the middle of nowhere.
I don't know why.
But I never heard back from him. But the reality is that he said that Rick Steves was staying with him that day, but Rick Steves basically had a cold or whatever. But the crazy part about all of this, when you ask yourself a question, is why do they have to take it from us when they own the world's banking systems?
Yeah.
I mean, they own pretty much all the gold. They pretty much own all the currency. I mean, I got to give them credit on that one. They really, really, they have really functioned through greed of taking everything. And the sad part about this is what Jesus said, isn't it, Austin?
Yeah.
It's the money is the love of money.
Love of money.
Is the root of all evil, which is probably exactly what happened with Lucifer in the beginning.
Speaking of money.
Here we go.
This is now getting updated. This is just from yesterday. Florida property tax cut proposals moves through the House now. It's going on the doggone ballot. It's going to be an amendment. Four proposed constitutional amendments aimed at reducing property tax for homeowners continue moving forward Tuesday in the Florida House, despite concerns on how the funding could hurt local services.
That's nonsense.
This is what they're
going to
do.
Glut of money now.
That's exactly right. Florida has a glut, almost every county and city. We've personally seen it, where they're going around and buying, not joking, buying sections of Swamp Lake property.
If we took $14 billion away from local governments, we'd still be a $3 billion above spending levels in 2020.
Yeah. We have a huge spending problem. And there's so many. Here's the problem. When you start having local municipalities and they have so much cash coming in, they have to figure out how to justify basically stealing from everyone. It's taxation, it's theft from other
parts.
Now,
we just built a beautiful civic center, though.
Oh, we built a beautiful civic center.
That's got to be tens of millions.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's fantastic. We also paid $1.2 million for Swamp Lake property that we're allegedly going to put a park in at some point in the near future on the horizon.
On a alligator-infested lake. It's called the reserve because it's filled with gators, Lake Maddie.
And we bought it from, Banana Holdings LLC. Not even joking.
Who's owned by Tangerine Holdings, owned by Lemon Holdings,
yeah.
Owned by... Yeah, one of those.
Oh, one of the realtors and basically real estate gurus around here that was on the city commission.
We think they may have ownership, but nobody knows.
Allegedly, yeah. When you got an LLC that owns an LLC that owns an LLC that's based out of the Virgin Islands, and you're like, oh, this is legitimate. But so this is going to be interesting.
It may be legitimate, but yeah. It's hard to trace on who it belongs to.
Yeah, and there's no Gators like Maddie either.
That's a flim-flam fairy tale.
So we paid $1.2 million for, 10 acres of swamp property? $1.2 million in Florida for swamp property? I can buy it for $10,000 an acre right now for swamp property. Banana Holdings, owned by Tangerine Holdings.
Owned by Lemon Holdings.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, we're not being shady or anything. We're not funneling money. Gosh. So we'll see what happens.
We're not making any claims because we really don't know who owns all of these things. Oh, it could be completely
this entire segment was a complete, it was entertainment. So
it's for the state of Florida now to come back and start giving us money back. It's great.
Yeah, but we'll see, though, because there's a lot of people now that are basically in the government levels that are pushing to try to get these amendments not on the ballot.
Well, no.
You got to remember, a lot of these commissioners, they allegedly might be getting some kickbacks from all this cash.
Here's the thing. Here's how I look at this. You get a 40-year mortgage or a 50-year mortgage.
50-year mortgage. Okay. What the heck?
So you're 20. And now, if for 50 years, you've paid property taxes, which means you've probably paid more for the house with property taxes than you paid for the house. And the problem you have is now you're 70 years old and you want to retire. And now they say...
And you paid the house off.
No, you paid the house off. House paid off.
50 years.
And you say, peasant! Your house cost you $300,000. You paid $500,000 in property taxes. So you have to keep paying or we're taking your house.
Yeah, it's insane.
No, they do a court order auction. They just sell the property off from underneath you.
Yeah.
And you pay for it. And you own it free and clear because you had to pay the property taxes. So at least at the age of 50, in my opinion, this whole property tax stuff needs to be starts going back down. And so until no more being paid. It's like paying sales tax on a car over and over and over
again. That's one of the reasons why Florida has such a high sales tax rate, and they are so ridiculous about it's everything gets sales tax. And like every time a vehicle sold, it gets sales tax. I told Dad that the other day. I said, after like six or seven transfers of a vehicle, the vehicle's had its entire value already paid in sales tax in the state of Florida. Over $60,000, $70,000 truck, after it's sold enough times, truck's already been paid for again in sales tax.
Well, that's true. 70% is $5,000 right there. So you sell it 15 times over a period of 15, say 20 years, you've got to pay it again in sales tax.
I mean, it's like, when's the cap on this? I got paying sales tax on it. Mm-hmm. And so Florida's got some interesting stuff. And this, the biggest pet peeve, I think, and I'll let it go after this, is that I have to pay out of pocket. I can't get any grants from the state for schooling. I have homeschool co-ops that I have my kids in. I've applied for numerous grants. I have. I get denied on all of them. And I have to pay out of pocket for my kids to go to a really good homeschool co-op with about 150 kids, because the public school system here in Florida sucks. And there's some people, and there are some really good people in the public school sector that I know personally, that are customers, that are listeners, and I love them. However, we have a massive issue in some of the school systems here with some people that are really, really shady. We got to deal with them firsthand during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
We went to the base of the school board.
Man, that Butch Dyke lesbian, boy, she eyeballed me.
She hated you, boy. She hated you.
Yeah, boy.
She did not like you at all.
And they never do.
Well, especially if you had the paper and your point matter.
You won't be reelected.
Yeah.
And we did. She wasn't reelected.
No. But so, you know, and I have to pay money on my property taxes for the school system. I had to fund the schools that I don't ever use, that I will never use. And so, again, that's a pet peeve of mine. Anyways, what's your next story? If I get on a rabbit hole here.
More job cuts are hitting. 1.17 million in 2025.
AI, baby.
54% higher than last year.
How's that AI working?
And the problem that we have with this stuff is when we're giving out hundreds of billions of dollars to immigrants, if not trillions, we don't know what we're giving out. You have a situation in which you're asking yourself the simple question, why are we not supporting the people with better workman's, you know, unemployment compensation when they're fired or when they're laid off because of AI?
Yeah.
We're giving all this money to basically third world people that are coming into the United States, sometimes $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month per household, because there's 10 people living in one house and they're all applying for these different grants. I'm like you, though. Why is it we can't get grants?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We're not Hispanic.
I'm a white
that's
male.
Right. I'm a white guy. And I'm not picking on if you're Hispanic. I mean, I know a lot of Hispanics who work extremely hard, and they don't apply for any grants either. And some of the hardest workers I've ever seen, especially the guys from Venezuela, unbelievably good workers. They really are. Yeah. But the reality is that when you see this kind of abuse taking place and all these people being laid off because of AI, and these people struggling trying to pay bills, and all these people from other countries are getting all this money, it kind of reminds you of Cloward and Piven, doesn't it?
Yep.
You know, when you understand that, and this is the thing I really don't get, because it's the evil nature of this entire scenario that we're in. These people are Cloward and Piven. This is being done to us by our own government, and it's being done to us by people from third world countries who want to destroy our country and turn it into the hellhole they came from. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It's strange. You would think coming here, you'd be like, wow, I can actually have the American dream. I can work. I can build something. I can be better. I can contribute. I can develop and relate with this community, and I can grow. I have personal growth, and I can become better as well. Nah. I want all the free stuff, and I don't want to work, and I want to be just like it was at home. Well, if home was so great, why'd you leave? That's my thing.
I mean, if you hated your own country so much and you're living out of a garbage dump.
And you came to the United States, I'd personally be ecstatic.
You know, I'm going to stop for 1 second, though. Let me stop for 1 second. This is important. You know, it's how you raise your children.
That's a fact.
Now, listen to me for a second. You know, I was so frustrated when I was young, when I was 8, and I had to start working. Du bist Deutsch, du bist immer arbeiten. Okay, you're German. You got to work all the time. You got German parents. 8 years old, I'm mowing 2 acres of property with a 20-inch push mower. And I mean, and it wasn't self-propelled. I was dragging this mower around roots and everything else. And I didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, I didn't cut my foot off. I had a friend of mine who was about 10 years old, cut his foot off, had to have it sewed back on. Was never right.
Hunter went and watered all the magnolias this morning.
Oh, I know. But the point is, when you teach a kid they don't have to work.
Yeah.
Okay? Now listen to me for a second. You guys stay with me. Don't get mad at me and send me letters, because my email doesn't work half the time now anyhow. It doesn't make any difference. But the reality is that you basically are a situation where if you don't train them in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it, to use a verb of the Bible. You train them in the way they should work and how they should have a work ethic. They want to continue to work all their lives. Hunter came to see this morning. He goes, Uppa owes me $10.
Gotta collect.
Cecilia reaches in her wallet and gives him $10.
Yeah.
And then she gives Kendall another $1 for helping Hunter to water the magnolia trees. And, you know, but, you know, I like that. He's got that entrepreneurial spirit going on right now. And see, if you teach the kids how to be that way when they're young, instead of how to live on the government socialized welfare system, they learn how to work. And that's why I remember this lady came in from Colombia, total socialist, to total communist. And she comes in and marries a friend of mine who was German. And she hated America, hated America. And finally, and they were very wealthy because he owned multiple businesses. And she saw how much she hated the United States. And I told her, I said, if you hate the country so stinking much and it's made you a multimillionaire because you married so-and-so, why don't you just leave and go back to Colombia? Well, I have a right to be here. I said, no, you don't. Not if you got this kind of attitude.
That's my opinion. If you got that kind of attitude, you have no right to be here.
No.
Back to the other country.
But see, that's the problem, isn't it? We bring people in from a third world country, and all they've ever taught to do is be on government handouts. We bring them here. What do we expect them to do?
Generations.
What do we expect them to do? We're bringing – so we have – again, you bring a Muslim in who every time he sees a woman who's not wearing a veil, that he consider her to be a whore, and it's time to rape her.
It's horrible.
Okay? And they did it in Germany. They did it in Cologne with over 1,000 incidents. And all of a sudden you're like, well, what is going on here? It's their culture. It's how they were raised. And so now you try to integrate cultures, and it fails miserably most of the time. So it's best just to keep everybody kind of separated and let them stay in their own space, unless they're going to integrate into your culture, Austin.
You know what I...
Learn English.
Learn English.
My God.
$60. $60.
What's $60?
Silver.
Is it really?
Clipped $60. $59.68. It just ran back down a little bit. I thought that was interesting. That's this thing has legs, baby. And it is running again. Look at this year to date. Look at this year to date on here. 103.96% return year to date.
Well, I'm glad I own a couple of coins.
I'm glad I got a couple eagles, too. Yeah. I told her most about a couple eagles, I don't know, like
20
years ago.
We told you a long time ago in this show, we said, we're not giving you advice.
$11 an ounce,
but
man.
Gold and silver look pretty good right now.
Yeah. See, the thing I like about a silver eagle is I can play with it. I can throw it. I can flip it.
I had a friend of mine years ago. He was asking me about things, and he went and put a bunch of money into gold.
Yeah.
He called me up the other day and goes, by the way, thanks.
Yeah. But the thing is, you got to think about it now, though. Silver actually possibly may have a higher return than gold does now. For you to double your money on gold, it's got to hit $8,000 an ounce. Mm-hmm. Silver just has around to $100 an ounce.
That's already up 100%.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like, you
know, gold's up 100% too, though.
So, but both of them. But you know, silver sometimes a little bit easier to get a hold of, and it's a little bit easier to get rid of too. You see, once gold hits about $10,000 an ounce, I mean, you got a gold eagle. That's money. Silver, you know, $100 an ounce, you can actually mess around with a couple of them and move them around. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting. It's historic, man.
Gold is broken up into 10-ounce, you know, 1-ounce
bars. Tenth of an ounce ones.
Yeah, tenth of an ounce bar. It wouldn't be funny if we start seeing tenth of an ounce eagles.
Half-ounce eagles.
Oh, kind of like a 10-cent piece.
Huh.
Remember how we said 10 cents was for silver?
Yep.
And then we had 5 cents worth of nickels?
Yeah.
It was real nickel. And then we had, you know, 25 cents.
I bought some of those 90% quarters. Mm-hmm. They got Benjamin Franklin on them.
Yep. And they got silver quarter. You got 50 cent pieces that are called silver.
Yeah.
My mom used to collect.
She always have those.
From the jukebox.
I put them in the jukebox all the time. I never realized what they were worth back. Those things are some money now.
Oh, yeah.
Junk 50 cent silver pieces like that, 90%. They're called junk silver. That's just a reference to them. They're not junk, though, actually. They're very, very expensive.
Oh, by the way, you guys have fun in church this weekend. And I'm going to pray for you again, as I always do. I love you guys. I really appreciate you. Always keep your hearts and minds in Christ. And remember, this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it, regardless of, you know, silver goes up or silver goes down. We will. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not dealing from greed here. We're not dealing from the love of money. And I'm just excited to pray for you guys. I want to thank you again for your support, because if it wasn't for you guys, you know, watching the show and supporting us. Oh, I had Ron call me the other day. He goes, man, I like it when you guys joke around on the air. Can you guys do just one show a week and just make it all comedy?
Comedy.
I'm like, the problem is we're called Health Masters.
Yeah, not.
We have to talk about supplements. Laugh Masters? Oh, that's good. Laughmasters.com. Now that'll be taken in 30 seconds.
Why'd you say that live? Hey, product of the week's vitamin C. Look what's winning. I love that.
Attention factor.
Yeah.
We
love it here.
Everybody wonders why you're always geeked up on stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Fit, food, and attention factor. Those are two of my favorite compounds I take every single day. So you guys vote. See what those do over the weekend. I'm curious to see which one's going to win. I enjoy this. It gives me feedback from all the customers. I like to see what
they do. That's true.
The vitamin C powder. Grab it on sale. 10% off right now. Y'all have a good weekend. Check the website out on your off time this weekend. Also, be sure to check out the podcast, our updated shows. Sign up for updates. Put your name, email, Brewer Show, Health Masters. We give it to you all, my friends. Have a great weekend. Have a fun time. Stay safe and healthy. We'll talk to you on the show Monday as always.
Love you guys.